Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 8. Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. This is the text. Throughout his ministry, the crowds of people never truly did know who Jesus was. That's always been the case in the world. The crowd never really gets it. They witnessed his miracles of feeding and healing with the same disbelieving awe as the disciples did early in Jesus' ministry when he calmed the storm. You know, Jesus calms the wind and the waves, and they said, "Who is this? Who has authority over the wind and the waves?" That was the disciples' response early on in their relationship. They really had no idea who they were dealing with. The disciples did progress in their relationship with Christ as they had been with the Lord about 3 years at the point where we find them in our gospel. However, as we see in all four of the gospels and even in the first part of the book of Acts, the disciples did not understand who Jesus actually is until after the resurrection. They don't get it, which leads me to think that the traditional way in which Peter's confession is read may not be the full story. In response to the question which the Lord poses to the disciples, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Peter makes what seems to be a bold and confident confession of faith, saying, "You are the Christ." And Jesus immediately, strictly charges them, from epitimao in the Greek. He warns them that they are not to tell anyone about him. Now, earlier in Jesus' ministry, Jesus silenced others also. He silenced the demons who were announcing who Jesus was. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus silenced them. Now, that makes sense, given that the Jewish leaders were already accusing Jesus of being in league with Satan. And the testimony of demons probably is not going to be the most helpful and accurate presentation of the gospel. I mean, hearing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth from them is an unreliable expectation. At times, Jesus also tells people who he has healed not to tell anyone about him. This also makes sense given the nature of the crowds that were gathering around him, hoping for more miraculous food. Oh, how the crowds came after Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. They wanted to come and see some miracle show, get healed, or get a fish sandwich or something. As Jesus will say, a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign. Jesus wants to be discovered, be revealed through his word. Nowhere else is Jesus going to be found. That is where he is going to be seen for who he truly is. Now, Peter and the disciples, they do make progress in their 3 years with the Lord. They went from asking the bewildered question, "Who is this who has authority over the wind and the waves?" to the point where Peter could confidently say, "You are the Christ." Now, what has brought them along this journey that got them at least this far? Well, witnessing the miracles, I'm sure, made an impact. Peter walking on the water with the Lord until he sank, I'm sure, caught his attention, even though it caused Jesus to say, "You know, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter witnessed Jesus healing the blind, the deaf, the mute. These are the things that Mark includes as the events happening between Jesus calming the storm and Peter's confession of faith. which of these events opened Peter's eyes to see Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah sent from God? You could say none of them, or you could say all of them, depending on your perspective. But the truth is that the actual full nature of Christ is not going to be revealed through miracles. Many people witness the miracles that Jesus did, and they remain mired in their unbelief. They remain, wandering around suggesting that he's John the Baptist reincarnated, or maybe he's Elijah. It's like our world today. Lots of people talk about Jesus in vague sort of terms, but the specifics of who he truly is tends to get lost on the crowd. Jesus comes, and he does perform many miracles. He does amaze the people. And those miracles do point to who he truly is, but only when you see them in light of the Word of God. The psalmist says, "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." And Jesus fed the people 4,000 and 5,000 at a time. When Isaiah foretold the coming of the Christ, he said, "In that time, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy." Isaiah 35. These are the things that Mark writes were happening as Jesus was there in Israel teaching his disciples, showing them who he was. Last week, I mentioned how in Mark's gospel, Mark makes it clear that the gospel is not something you can understand before you believe. Faith comes first. And as St. Paul points out, faith comes by hearing. And it is the Word of God that forms that faith. Were the disciples believers? They can confess it. You are the Christ. So they believe that he is the Christ. Absolutely recognize they were believers. The problem is when you read the rest of the gospel, when you read the other three gospels and Acts, it becomes very clear that Jesus silenced the disciples for the same reason that he silenced the demons. There was an unreliable expectation that the whole truth would be proclaimed. The disciples don't understand who the Christ is. Not until Jesus opens their minds to the Word of God, and this doesn't take place until after the resurrection. Right after Peter makes his confession of faith, Jesus basically says, "Yes, but you aren't allowed to talk about who the Christ is until you understand who the Christ is. So just be silent." And he says this plainly. And then he begins to teach them who the Christ actually is. That he must suffer. That he must be rejected by all of the Jewish leaders. And he must be killed. And in 3 days he'll rise again. And he says this plainly. In clear terms, there should be no misunderstanding. And Peter takes him aside and demonstrates exactly why Jesus will not allow him to tell others about the Christ. Peter has no idea. And Peter rebukes Jesus. Same Greek word, epitemao here. He is sternly telling Jesus, "Oh no, this should not be." Peter can confess that Jesus is the Christ, but he has no idea what he's actually saying. This is the sad state in which the world always finds itself. This is why it is so important that we are immersed in the Word of God, and in the teachings of who God is. And so Jesus turns around and he epitomaos Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, if your children ever ask you why you have to go through years of confirmation, why hearing the Word of God every week, coming to Sunday school, all these things, they ask why this is important. Why do we have to do this all the time? This is why. After being 3 years with Jesus, living with him on a daily basis, Peter still doesn't get it. He's still thinking and focused on life in the world rather than on what the Christ came to do. That he was going to be pierced for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. And the prophet Isaiah could have told him that, but he wasn't listening. Peter didn't understand the cross and the resurrection, even though Jesus spoke plainly about it. Not just here, but he's going to, you know, speak about this over and over again as they are journeying towards Jerusalem. The disciples will not get it until after they see the empty tomb. Even while looking at the empty tomb, you read in John's gospel, they don't get it. They didn't know what to think. Not until the Word of God is opened to them by Christ himself can they truly confess their faith in Christ. As we've said, the gospel is not something you can understand before you believe. Faith comes first. My encouragement to you is to surround yourself with and participate in the Word of God whenever possible, because it is there and nowhere else that Christ permits himself to be found. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.